I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hey, go-getters. Let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime. With 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients, Noom should be your go-to hydration choice. Because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on NoomLife.com and get ready for endless fun, because anything can happen after noon.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Do you want to watch The Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas. More than just radio. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch The Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Good morning from lovely College Station, Texas, on a not-so-lovely day, potentially here in College Station. It is great to be with you for Halftime on ESPN Arkansas and HitThatLine.com. Phil Elson, my friend Matt Jones, the C-Unit in the studio. Christian, I hear a little bit of an echo coming through here for me, so if you can do something about that. It is cloudy, it is overcast, and it is potentially rainy when it's supposed to be game time. Whatever you just did made it louder than it was even 4 seconds ago. So try the other thing. Try to maybe turn the thing in the other direction,
the other
potentially.
Left. Yeah.
Yeah, your other left. That's basically the way that I'd look at it. Hopefully we'll be playing baseball later today. Maybe the echo leaves my ear by the time. There we go. Now we got it going. That's much better. Now I just hear my voice regularly. Let me start the day with a lie for you, Matt, okay?
Ooh.
You're looking pretty today, as I see
yes,
you on my FaceTime.
I do like it when you lie to me.
All right. I'll start with something that might be a lie, but maybe it's not a lie, because I have no decision-making in this whatsoever. We're going to play baseball today. Now, maybe that's true, maybe it's not true. usually you would just say, hey, it's on the schedule, you're going to play. But I guess this year, at least in the last month and a half, you can never really be sure about it when you do show up. It's cloudy right now, but it's going to be getting darker as I sit here at Bluebell Park, right across the train tracks from Kyle Field. And I think by the time I get out of the ballpark and when the show is over, Matt, it'll probably be raining by then. Looks like we got lightning, we've got thunder in the forecast, we've got potential hail. There is even a flash flood warning in College Station, Bryan. But it does look like if you're going to be able to play baseball, I don't think it'll be 7 o'clock. But I do think maybe if they're okay waiting until 9:30 or 10 o'clock. Maybe be able to get it done, and I don't know. So that's my weather report. I don't know if it's a lie or not, Matt, but I told you I would say one lie. At least I told you you're pretty today.
There we go. Do you put
on your phone, wherever you're going, do you put everything in so you already see the weather before you're going there? Or do you just wait until you get down there and then you find out?
Unfortunately, I get a little bit a little crazy about it because I look 2 weeks ahead.
Yeah, right. You
know, last week.
I do the same thing. If I know I'm going somewhere in the next, I already start looking at the weather, or I'll go in and plug it in my phone where it's like, oh, okay, that's how it's going to be. Yeah.
Well, it's like, what am I going to do? Start planning 2 weeks? I mean, the hotel's already booked. The car's already booked. You're going there no matter what. It's not like the weather's going to force you to not make a trip when it's on the schedule like this. It's different when you got vacations and things planned out and things like that. But, yeah, 2 weeks ago, I was already looking at what the weather would be like in College Station. So right now, I feel like I'm ready to start looking ahead for when we're in Fayetteville for a regional. I'm not ready to start looking for the weather in a month when the College World Series starts. So,
it's getting hot.
Well, it will. Well, we got off the plane yesterday. It felt nice. It was 85 degrees outside. It was a great day to be at the ballpark for a workout. But knowing full well that you could be in a position where, you know, maybe you can play, maybe you can't, but do you want to have everybody stick around until, you know, 11:30 or midnight? Because that may end up being what you got to do to finish a game. You got a 7 o'clock game on Friday. So, I mean, it's not, and nobody's got classes to worry about. So it's not like you got to worry about, oh, they got things to wake up for in the morning. No, it's just a game and it's another night game, not even scheduled for the daytime. So, but when they do get on the field at some point, it'll be Hagen Smith against Ryan Prager, two of the better pitchers in the SEC this year. Prager's not at Smith's level. Nobody is, but he's maybe as close as any other pitcher in the SEC numbers-wise. 2.71 ERA, lots of strikeouts, just over 200 batting average against. And you know, you get a Texas A&M lineup that can score a lot of runs against an Arkansas pitching staff that, at least when Hagen's out there, is really good keeping him from scoring. And, Matt, it's just nice to be at College Station. It's a fun place to be for baseball. Just hopefully they don't get the bubble machines going too much.
So whenever the tarp comes, so y'all do a doubleheader tomorrow. Is that what you're saying?
That's what we'd have to do.
Yeah, that's okay. Because it does look, I just looked at the weather, it looks like it's on the way. Looks like it's all in the way.
Yeah, and I mean it's got when lightning's involved, that's what really can screw things up, because you could still, you know, it could just be a drizzle, or you could, the storm could have come through, and if there's lightning that's hanging around in the area, you're never going to be able to get on the field. So, yeah, if they do a doubleheader tomorrow, I mean, I don't really think that messes things up too much for Arkansas moving forward. It just compacts the series, and then it puts, you know, a little more pressure on the bullpen to perform and lengthen that pen, because anybody pitches twice on the same day. And then in that case, you know, you're pretty much guaranteeing, I would assume, that you see a guy like Mason Molina work out of the bullpen at some point.
There you go. Kind of problem solves itself. But you don't want the last thing, and I know we talked about this earlier in the week, is you don't want to take somebody out there, Hagen Smith, and go through your warm-up, play one inning, and then all of a sudden the storm gets here and it's suspended for 2 hours. And then he's not the same. So you don't want to mess up that routine, so you just we'll go tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, it's huge anticipation. That's for sure. I mean, they've already added this new bleacher section just past the video board in left center. They call it Section 12. They just put it out there. I mean, they just put it out there 2 days ago.
12 rows, 12 seats, 144 people. Is that how they do it? Or
I think they said it would hold. I can't count the number of rows from here, but if I'm just looking with my naked eyes right here, that doesn't look like the safest seating section. Honestly,
it's probably general admission tickets. You know,
it's just the bleachers look like they've been left out in the rain and then to dry for a few times without having the rust clear put on it. That's all I'm saying. But they want to get this place as loud as they possibly can. And it's got a great atmosphere. Great atmosphere. Just added the new bleachers 2 years ago in right field. And it's, I don't know, have you been to College Station before, Matt?
No, sir.
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
sir.
I know A&M and Arkansas, they weren't football opponents.
We didn't play.
They signed the contract when you were playing there.
Didn't play A&M in anything. No, sir.
But they thought about you, right? This was a school that recruited
you. Well, I got recruited by them. They had a cool – Dat Wynn was there. They had a running back that was going on. Reggie McNeil was the other quarterback, number 16. He was in my class, and They were one of the schools that when we were talking, you know, you have your, like, kind of what Calipari's doing with some of the players now when he come in. It's like, had a meeting with them talking. They're like, we'll offer you a scholarship if you want to. We're going to take one quarterback. If you want to be that guy and commit to us, we won't offer anybody else. But no, I was never going to go. But they had a cool postcard. So when they send you the paraphernalia, the memorabilia, whatever they send you, it was like a picture of them, and it was called the Wrecking Crew, and so that was kind of cool, yeah.
I guess I'm surprised it didn't have something to do with the 12th this or the 12th that.
They had some 12th man stuff going on.
Of course.
They're big in the ROTC. They're a little... I don't even dislike them because they're not even quality enough to dislike. They're just like, y'all are so different, weird, and like in a not a cool way that it's like, I can't even, you're not even on the radar for me to have dislike for you. So, yeah.
They definitely have their own club.
They're definitely their own. Go over there, though. Yeah, if they're over there, just y'all stay on that side of the park and I'll go over here. It's okay.
They got handshakes. They got secret passwords. They got triple secret passwords.
They're just goofy. If you're a Texas A&M alum, you're just a little bit odd.
Well, they take pride in it, that's for sure.
Good. Say, hey, I'm not. It's your music. You have to listen to it. You know, like, hey, if that's your stick and that's your thing, that's cool. It's like going on, like Aaron Rodgers going on his journey with his shepherd or his shaman. It's like, go ahead and go if that's what you're into. I'm not into it.
Well, I was always raised to be proud about yourself and the things that you take pride in and the things that you take joy in and who you are as a person, no matter what anybody else were to think about.
Absolutely.
You. Texas A&M definitely fits that mold. That's for certain. You would not have fit here.
No,
this,
I don't
this
want
to. Would not have been a Matt Jones landing spot.
I don't think the vibe. I don't think we would have. Yeah.
This would have been you would have needed the transfer portal 24 years ago. I'm pretty sure about that. 23 years ago or whenever it was that all went down. Too bad you didn't have that thing then. I'll tell you what, though, and I've been meaning to ask you this. There's going to be this settlement between the NCAA and its member institutions and the conferences and the class action litigation that's coming around the corner. It's basically, the SEC presidents met yesterday. The ACC presidents, I think, have already spoken about this in some cases. Part of this settlement isn't just what's moving forward, which would be revenue sharing of, I think I've seen dollar figures of somewhere between $20 and $30 million per year per school for the athletes that are currently under their supervision or auspices. But there's also over $2 billion in past damages to previous athletes for those athletes, people like you, Matt. that weren't able to make money on their name, image, and likeness. So I don't know. You might get a phone call or an email or a text from the NCAA that just, you know, kind of seems like it's coming out of the blue. Just like I got the email from the Travelers with my 5 shares of stock that said, "Hey, we're selling. You're going to get something for this." So at some point they ought to let you know. I would think you might get something for this.
Here's a cigar. You're going to go far. I hear they got a lot of money, but I don't know who they're giving it away.
No, by the way, which one's pink? Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Hey, if they want to call me up and give me some money, then cool. But I don't know anything about it. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, there may be something down the pike for you.
There
because
we go.
That was, hey, this whole thing kind of started right around the time that you were playing for Arkansas in those two sports. So I think at some point you'll hear something about it. Oh, man, the sun's starting to shit. It's like, I hate when it does this. I mean, right now it looks like you could get out and play ball right now and it'd just be okay, no problem whatsoever. But this will be one of those shows that by the time we're done, it'll be pitch black, it'll be dark, it'll be in the middle of the day, and I'll be like, all right, which game do I get to watch tonight? Because it ain't going to be this one. And, hey, it should. The problem is, it's like, sure, there are some other good SEC games and schools that have to be pretty desperate, I think, about trying to win today, tomorrow, and Saturday, and then maybe even do something in Hoover to get a bid, an at-large bid. Like LSU and Ole Miss, man, and Baton Rouge, that's a series for the desperate. Those are two schools that probably need to sweep each other to even have a prayer, and then maybe do something in Hoover. Florida and Georgia. Florida's probably got to sweep Georgia. Georgia, they've got it. They've got an outside shot at a top 8 national seed. So that's a big series for both of them. Kentucky and Vanderbilt. Kentucky wants to win the SEC. Vandy still needs to probably do some work to ensure that they even make a regional where they'll have to go on the road. South Carolina, Tennessee. Tennessee's got, you know, as good of a chance as anybody, not Kentucky, to win the SEC. They got the tiebreaker over the Razorbacks, and they got South Carolina at home. Carolina's trying to, you know, make some sort of a case that they could be a top 16 host. Alabama, Auburn. I'm sure Auburn would love to ruin Alabama's chance to make a postseason. If they sweep Alabama, maybe that will happen. Mississippi State and Mizzou in Starkville. Mississippi State's got they got a chance to host. In fact, the last projections from D1 baseball kept the Arkansas Regional across from the Starkville Regional. So you may very well see that. Who knows? But still, the biggest series. And I haven't looked at the rest of the conferences, but if you're talking about just overall matchup, this is the best in the country. Arkansas number 3, A&M number 5. Teams playing for the West Division Championship. Teams trying to ensure that they'll be top 8. Great pitching. A&M's got all the power in the world, but we're going to probably have to compact this thing. We'll just see. Maybe I'll be watching baseball at some point tonight, Matt. I just don't know if it'll be here in person.
What will the kids do? Do they go? Is there an inside park? Will they go get some cuts in? Will they do some long toss? You know, will they do any type of agility movement? Kind of what if it's a rained out game, or is it just you know?
Well, it's like you can't get on the field at all if there's lightning. It's not like you can just go out and do some light.
But they
jogging.
Got that
they
other building
allow anybody
over.
Out there.
Yeah,
they've got
like
facilities
indoor,
nearby
yeah.
here, right next, you know, connected that they can do some hitting. So that's where they'll get that kind of stuff done.
It's always interesting, Phil. Like in a football game when you'd have a rain delay, it seemed like there's two different types of people. There's one person that won't stop moving. They like, where's the bike at? Where's the thing? I got to do something. And then there's other people that are like, all right, well, just wake me up when the game gets here. We're ready. Just like what are we doing?
Caged animals. Sometimes I've sat through a couple of those. Even here at Bluebell Park. Where when you're on the road for baseball, man, there's nowhere to go. Maybe there's an extra room that's next to the dugout, but it's not big enough to hold the team. So, you know, in the minors, you'd have a clubhouse you could go to, and you could sit around lockers and stuff like that. They don't have that here. They don't have visiting lockers.
Hickey and Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
Welcome to McLarty Daniel Country.
With 6 giant locations and over 3,000 vehicles, Northwest Arkansas is McLarty Daniel Country. Stop by one of our showrooms today to shop our full lineup of cars, trucks, and SUVs.
McLarty Daniel is proud to be your premier automotive destination.
Need service? We work on all makes and models 6 days a week. Plus, our full-service collision center can repair anything from a minor ding to a major collision. Have you visited McLarty Daniel Country?
Visit us online at McLartyDaniel.com.
Matt, I saw where Gottlieb does say that he's going to be hosting this radio show while he's still that way. He's the head coach.
How many days do you have to be there to call it your radio show?
Well, I mean, so all right, how many days do you have to be fully into being the head coach before you call it your own program?
Because it's 65 days to win awards in NBA. You have to 65 of the 82 games, whatever percent that is. It's your day. It's your program day one. Once if you're the head ball coach, man, it's your program. That's you. You better be the leader. You better not be wearing a blue blazer out when you just signed the deal. You better have on a red one. You know, it's like you're. He's green and gold now. I mean, that's just what it is. When you're the head ball coach, that day one, it's yours.
Well, look, you can do a radio show anywhere. I mean, I'm living proof of that. But you would want to think that, I mean, I think one of the reason I can do this radio show the way that we do it is because one of the main topics are the teams that I'm traveling with. And it's, you know, I don't know. It feels, and even sometimes I have trouble keeping up with everything going on, even with the teams that we talk about, especially nowadays with all the player movement. I can't keep up with everything going on in the SEC as far as basketball transfers, and I can barely keep up with the with the football transfers right now.
It's kind of fake news, though. It's the transfer news is not really. It's nothing. People, it's not a. It's like, okay, like you don't have to be first at the transfer portal.
Well, I just even mean like keeping track of what the rosters look like.
That's what I mean. Yeah, wait till camp. That's why they're numbers until you make a play. Let me make a play first. Let's see. It's this ever revolving door. You can't. It's impossible to keep up with it.
You know, and then there's all of the games that I guess, you know, people you got to watch if you're hosting a show and all these other things to keep up with too. And it just seems, I mean, hosting a radio show to me feels like a big job. We do 3 hours a week or three hours a day. Gottlieb is doing 2 hours a day. It's on a national perspective. Maybe the opinions are baked in and, you know, maybe he'll be able to watch all the games you got to be able to watch to be able to keep up or set the conversation the way that he does. It just also feels like being a head coach of a basketball program in Division I, heck, in Division II, Division III, I mean, it's a big
full-time job. How are you going to do a daily radio show?
Yeah, and I mean, what does that present to everybody else that works for you? It's like, well, you'll handle that kind of stuff because I got to worry about being ready for this radio show. Even if you're putting an hour into it, an hour of prep into 2 hours, that's 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday. You know, sure, you can travel, you can do the games, you can have somebody sit in and host for you when you need to. Greeny does it all the time. I mean, I don't even know why they call it Greeny during the summer because he's never there. And I'm sure with Gottlieb, there'll be somebody that steps in as the main co-host that people will like listening to. It's just, I don't know. It's like, and I also think of myself as if I was a parent that's sending a kid off to college to play for somebody, and maybe you view it as 1 year at a time because of how rosters are kept now. I want to feel like the head coach has totally bought into being the head coach of that team for that year. I think it's understood, like, Gottlieb is taking this job to try to step up the ladder a little bit at some point. You know, he's not going to stay in Green Bay for the rest of his coaching career. If he does well after 2-3 years, maybe someone else will look for him and hire him. But I would like to feel like, all right, so you're bought in totally to being the head coach of this team for this year. But at the same time, like, all right, now you got to worry about what else is going on in the world of sports at the same time.
They probably won't do phone callers on that show, huh? It wouldn't be.
That's right. Yeah. He says, well, you know, a coach does a weekly radio show. Well, the coach does a weekly radio show, but it's not hosted by the coach. He's not the one who's coming up with the content. Sam Pittman sits there and does the show with Chuck, and I've hosted that a few times. Chuck's the one who comes up with the questions. He's the one who sets the conversation. Coach Pittman's not up there for the entire time. There's two players that join him too. You know, it's an hour. When you throw in the commercials, it might be 40 minutes. So you can't point to a coach doing a weekly radio show. You can't. This is a daily radio show. It's 2 hours a day for 5 days a week. It's, I don't know. I just would think that a coach would be spending his time coaching or prepping for games, for opponents, building a schedule. You know, the kind of stuff that Cal talked about the other day. I thought it was kind of fascinating to hear him talk at the hall in Little Rock after the one Razorback Roadshow stopped through about the schedule. I hadn't even thought about that. You know, I mean, now you got to build the schedule. Yes, the SEC just gave you your opponents. You know, you got a couple of games in San Diego, but outside of that, you got to build a schedule. And the first thing you had to do is you even said to them, to the media, I talked to the team before I talked to everybody, and what did I have? They didn't have a team. You know what else they didn't have then? A schedule. I mean, that goes into this. Coaches have to approve that. Aren't there some phone calls that go into it?
3-29 that's just a bad. That's a tough deal when you're not very good coming into a program, and let's say you're not winning. Let's say you're not above 500, and then you're off to do your radio show. It's kind of hard to be all in.
And again, it's different if it's a podcast. I think it'd be a much different thing if it's a podcast, because you can record a podcast at any time of the day, and no one. I don't think a coach that has a podcast is doing a 2-hour daily podcast. And it, to me, it doesn't feel like this will work. And I'm not rooting against Gottlieb at all. I think it's kind of interesting to see if this does work out or not, independent of the fact that he's going to host a radio show. It's a guy with no coaching experience that's stepping out of the I wouldn't even say the broadcast booth, stepping out of the studio. I'm sure he's done some game analysis, but he's more of a talk show guy and taking over a Division I basketball program. I think that's fascinating in and of itself. Now add, oh, yeah, he's going to keep the other full-time job. Good luck.
Well, he did coach AAU. He coached, I can't say, Macahaba games.
The Maccabee games.
Maccabee games.
Well, yeah, he's Jewish, so yeah, he would have coached the Mac. It must be in the American team.
2017, 2022. He coached with Bruce Pearl as an assistant and stuff. His dad was a coach. Yeah, so I mean, he's still in the game. Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think it's just you're bringing on criticism, undue criticism for no reason. I don't know why you don't step away from it, or maybe it's seasonal. Maybe during the basketball season, he's not doing it every day, but then when he's in the off season, he goes back and does his radio show.
Who was there? There's been a couple of broadcasters that were taken out of the booth and turned into managers, and I mean from one year to the next. I think Larry Anderson was it Larry Anderson that did that? And I know Jerry Coleman, who was doing San Diego Padres broadcasts, they made him the manager for a year. He was a ball player. I think Jerry Coleman played for the Yankees. I can't remember exactly, but he was a good ball player. The San Diego Padres become an expansion team. He's their play-by-play guy. I think he was the first one, and did great work. And then the next thing you know, they turn him into the manager for a year. I think it blew up in their faces, and he went right back into the booth for the remainder of his life. It's tough to be the manager and the play-by-play guy at the same time. Some of them try to do it, but it's actually kind of impossible to pull off.
Yeah, J.J. Redick might be a manager. I could see kind of LeBron maybe coaching his son. You got all this Bronny thing going on, man. It's a player coach. It's out there. It might be harder to play coach instead of coach and have a radio show. Maybe that might be the easier of the two.
Now, player owner. We got to get to
and
that.
Starting power forward.
Well, they had starting power. That's right. And PA announcer, so he can announce himself when he comes on for starting lineups. I know Mario Lemieux did the player owner thing.
Wasn't he in Russia when he did it?
That's Yager. That's
Yager. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. When Lemieux became owner of the Penguins, he turned what was essentially, because the team was going into bankruptcy, he had equity in the form of the contract that he had. And he just turned the contract into equity in the team and became the owner. And, oh, by the way, starting first-line center at that point, too, which was his second or third comeback.
The Mets are paying Bobby Bonilla. They should just put him as the manager. It's like you're already paying. You come manage it, and then there you go.
It's only $1 million a year, too. Yeah. It's pretty cheap.
Yeah,
pretty cheap now.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Should start with Bob.
It's time to talk with the unique individual.
You said you and Diva are OGs, old guys. Brett, you spoke so positively recently. I mean, did you expect this to happen?
He's a man of mystery.
Why do you always talk about Arkansas? But go ahead.
Well, why do you always talk about Kentucky?
Hey, it's Bob again. I think I'm unmuted now. I figured it out.
Man, you win the lottery 3 times, get to go to Starkville.
A man whose incisive questions and rapier wit.
Hey, John, did I add a two-parter if that's okay?
What did you mean? I'm sorry. I'm not that good.
Man, we got to get the Packers straightened out. Listen to the Jets. That ain't in Lambeau. That ain't good.
That placed him on the Mount Rushmore of Arkansas sports writers.
What do you think about this?
Yeah, Bob. The future in that, yeah.
Here he is, the one and only Bob Holt.
Hey, guys.
All guests join us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline, and that's where we have Bob Holt with us right now. Bob, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm great. Great to hear from you. So you've got a really good friend there over here with Matt Jones. He, and I'll tell you, Dave Van Horn feel the exact same way about the disappearance of divisions in the SEC, and that definitely stood out with Dave talking to you guys yesterday.
Yeah, you know, it happened in football. They did away with divisions in men's basketball. It's been a long time. I guess they felt like it wasn't evenly distributed because the East was better than the West or something. And, you know, I don't know why. I get you're adding Oklahoma and Texas, and the league's gone from 14 to 16. But, I mean, in 92 when Arkansas and South Carolina came in, they had 16 divisions. Then, what was it, 2012 or 2013? I think it was 2013 when Missouri and A&M were added. And then so divisions went from 6 to 7. I don't know why you couldn't add Oklahoma and Texas and you have 2 8-team divisions. Now, they're both geographically in the West, but I mean, you know, in the major leagues, how many years did the Atlanta Braves play in the NL West? I think the Falcons played in the NFC West for a while. I mean, I guess if you were in Atlanta, you got added kind of late in the deal expansion-wise, they stuck you in the West. I don't know, but you know, you could move Auburn over maybe, or you could put Oklahoma in the East or whatever. But yeah, I like, you know, I think Dave's right. You know, you have more competition with the divisions, more races. It's more exciting. And so I don't know why they have to have one. I just think one 16 team league just seems so boring, you know? And because, you know, who wants to, it's bad enough if you're finishing seventh or eighth, right? Who wants to finish 15th or 16th, you know? So, but Dave says, not like he had a few allies, but not nearly enough. And but yeah, so this will be the last West title up for grabs in College Station this weekend.
Well, it's like you feel like something is definitely up for grabs this weekend. It'd be different. So either of these teams could finish in second place in the SEC. But battling for second place doesn't have the same excitement level as trying to win a division, finishing in first in something. Battle for second place is never going to feel like that.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, sometimes teams like in pros, they might be battling for a playoff spot. Obviously in college, you're battling for a regional spot, and that's subjective by a selection committee. I think we all know A&M and Arkansas are in the NCAA tournament. They're going to host regionals, probably both host super regionals if they advance, but yeah, I think it's great to play. And I don't mean like it needs to be Little League, and not to put down Little League, but I don't know. Not everybody should get a participation trophy. But Emma, can the SEC not afford an East and a West trophy and an overall, or whatever? I mean, I don't know. I think the more things you can win, the better. And like I say, they don't need to make it ridiculous. I don't know. Dave mentioned, you know, like maybe 4-team. I remember when they talked about football, they talked about these 4-team pods, you know, and I thought that was kind of intriguing. But, I don't know why. It seems like the pros are going to more divisions, right? I mean, they went from having 2 divisions to now they're having 3 divisions and had wild cards and all this stuff. And so I think the pros get it. The more, quote, races there are, the more excitement, the more fans that want to come to your games, and the more concessions you sell, T-shirts, whatever. And I think they figured that out a long time ago. I mean, when I was a kid, you had, I think it was 8 teams in each league. You know, you had the National League winner play the American League winner, and that was cool. But then they went to divisions in 69, I think, and that was even more exciting because then you had the playoffs, and you had the championship series, then you had the World Series. So now you have a lot of rounds of playoffs. And, so I don't know why the college administrators or the SEC administration feel like divisions are bad, but obviously they're doing away with divisions basically in everything.
Hey, Bob, I'm excited about Gage Wood starting this second game or whenever the second game is. What are your thoughts on that? How do you expect that? I think it's going to be good things for the team.
Yeah, you can see it coming. You know, Dave indicated a couple weeks ago he was getting ready to take somebody's job. And then, Mason Molina, he's had some really good starts, but obviously of late he's really struggled. Brady Tigers, you know, very talented pitcher. He's pitched well out of the bullpen in the past, so maybe that's, you know, where he can help. There's one thing about, you know, Gage pitched twice against Mississippi State, and last weekend. Well, he's not going to pitch twice if he's starting a game. So, if you take him out of the bullpen, then you got to have somebody else hopefully take his place. And so that could be Brady. Maybe you try to get Mason Molina straightened out in short relief or something. But yeah, Gage Wood. He's been coming on. He had, that was Houdiniak, right? Getting out of that bases loaded. No, I was a jam against Mississippi State. I mean, you figure he's got a 2-run lead, so he's got a little bit of wiggle room, but he didn't give up anything, you know? That was really amazing. He had a good start against Missouri State, which has a decent hitting lineup, I think, you know? And that was his very first start, and clearly they've been trying to lengthen him out a little bit. And he could be a starter next year, you know? And so, yeah, I'm anxious to see how he does in the role, because it's one thing to have a starter at home against Missouri State, which is a solid program. It's a whole different deal to do at A&M with all those crazy fans that Dave Van Horn alluded to. And so, yeah, I think we know what we're going to get with Hagan Smith. He's going to give you 6 innings or more. I know he only gave him 5 last week. Wow, you know, how terrible. he had the guy to start. Most coaches would love a guy to have, or a guy would like to have, and I guess that was his, quote, subpar start, but I think he'll bounce back and have his usual, strong start, and then, give Arkansas a good shot to win that game, and then, what can Gage Wood do in game 2? I'm anxious. I'm like you. I'm anxious to see what he can do, because it is a new role for him, and it's a high-stakes game, So if he's a guy that's going to help you in the postseason, this isn't, a regional or the College World Series or whatever, but it's a pretty high-stakes game, so you're going to find out a lot about how this guy does in pressure situations, I think.
Well, when you take somebody out of one situation that has been an important role, and whatever Gage's role has been, and he's had a few of them in the last few times out, it's been really important. Someone's got to step into another role in the bullpen, or just have somebody that hasn't really had too many opportunities to pitch in some pressure moments, like a Cooper Dossett, maybe. If you got Gage replacing somebody as a starter, well, then you got to have somebody that takes the innings that he was pitching in relief.
Yeah, and like I said, that's a role Brady Tigard has done well in, and so I don't know. It sounds like the plan is obviously Hagan. He hopefully gives you his usual really good start, and then Gage Wood pitches, and then depending on, but Dave's right. I mean, Arkansas needs, obviously they want to win the series, they want to sweep, whatever, but they got to win one game to win the West. So they're going to go all out to win, however many guys they got to throw. I keep wanting to say Friday night, tonight, although with Hagan, it's usually Hagan and maybe one or two other guys, and then, But it depends. I don't know if you say Brady Tigard for Sunday. I mean, if I think Brady Tigard can help me win, closing a game Thursday or Friday, whatever, I use him. And I guess how Dave and probably most coaches look at it, you win the game in front of you, especially when you got to win one to clinch the West, and then you kind of go on from there. And then you see who's left, and maybe on Saturday, you bullpen it. They do have a lot of arms to throw. So somebody's going to have to fill in. If Gage is going to be a starter moving forward for, SEC tournament, regional, whatever, and he's a huge bullpen piece, then, somebody else has got to do it. Mason Molina, I think he might have pitched a little bit in relief as a freshman, but he was a starter last year. He's been a starter this year. So that's where the SEC tournament, to me, could be big for him, because if you're Arkansas or anybody that's pretty well set up, you think, well, geez, going to Hoover's just kind of a pain, right? Some games you got to get through. What you went in and Hoover can't really help you, and all you're going to do is tire out your pitching. But maybe that's a place where Mason Molina can get a start and try to get straightened out. I mean, I know you want to win the games, but you know, I certainly would not throw Hagan Smith a lot in Hoover. You know, I'd have him on a very limited pitch count, and if Gage is your guy, him too. But maybe that's a place where Mason Molina can get a start and kind of try to figure some things out. Or he can pitch in the bullpen, whatever. But, yeah, you're right. It's going to be interesting to see how this affects the bullpen.
Hey, Bob, defensively, how has this team looked the last couple series and going forward? Is there any room for improvements on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, they've been a good defensive team all year. I think they're – I don't know if off the top of my head. I was looking it up yesterday. Me and Tom Murphy were talking about it. But Arkansas's fielding percentage is .982, which is really, really good. It's like in the top 10 nationally. And Mississippi State's just a little bit ahead of them there in the SEC. Like, you got to take out the four digits, you know, like a batting race or something. And but I do think the last couple weeks – it's not like they made a bunch of errors, but there's some plays. Now, of course, you think of that, the diving, running, diving catch that Peyton Holt made, and Jared Sprague-Lotz made some really good plays over there at first or third, and Peyton Stovall makes a lot of good plays at second. But I can think of a few plays here and there where I think it's not an error, you know, maybe that's a hit, but that's a play that they normally would make. Mm-hmm. So I think they could tighten up their defense a little bit. They're certainly a really good defensive team. Most of the season, they frankly have been elite defensively, and the statistics back that up. But I do think they could be a little bit sharper, even, you know, the Peyton Holt highlight plays aside.
Well, there's the guy that I wanted to ask about. So I think someone had asked about to Dave, who, where would you be without Hagan Smith? And I think that's fairly easy to look at and know. I don't know if they'd be where they are anywhere close to it. But Peyton Holt, you know, without Peyton Holt, you would have a completely destabilized outfield. Just think, he's hit four home runs. Three of them have been for either a tie game in the ninth inning or a late lead. And when there's needed energy, he's been the one who's provided energy. And it's always been through big moments. So, you know, I mean, look, the infield has certainly done a lot of the producing, but I don't know where this team would be without Peyton Holt.
Yeah, it's amazing what he, you know, I think he played a little bit outfield at Crowder Community College, but he didn't play any outfield last year for the Razorbacks. I think he played one game in right field. He's, you know, an infielder by trade. He's a guy that can play second, third, probably can play short, probably can play first. I think he was their emergency catcher at times. It would have been interesting. Maybe there was some game like they were playing somebody that they knew they were going to beat real bad. There was a guy when I was a kid growing up named Cesar Tovar who played for the Twins, and he played all nine positions one game late in the season when it was the pennant race was over or whatever. But if anybody could Google Cesar Tovar. Peyton, I mean, you know, they put him in center, which is, you know, a premium defensive position. And he's made some great plays out there. I mean, think about it. In center field, he's made two plays against Florida and Mississippi State that were top 10 on the ESPN, you know, Sports Center. And he's made other really good plays, too. And he's a guy that really is an outfielder by trade. And not only is he, you know, okay or adequate, he's been really good. And I know Wilmsmeyer's their best outfielder defensively, but Peyton Holt's been right up there and not just making great plays physically but really good plays mentally like the deep play against Florida, and he's brought a lot of excitement to that lineup, you know, like say driving in runs with home runs, but he's batting leadoff. He's got really good speed. I mean, you don't like seeing him fly around the bases with his helmet flying off, and then he picks up his helmet with a double, you know, his helmet flew off and he picked it up and he holds it like a football. He says the Heisman pose, and of course he was a quarterback at Greenwood, I think, and so you know, and you don't, I don't think you go up to the plate thing. I'm going to hit a double and my helmet's going to fall off and then I'm going to do the Heisman pose. I just think that's a spontaneous thing that, and I'm sure that Doug, I know the fans went crazy if they noticed that we were going crazy in the press box, but hey, did the Heisman pose. Can you believe that? You know, it was just a really cool thing. And then, what I thought, the thing that I thought was really interesting, I saw some video where after he hit the go-ahead home run against Mississippi State, he goes to the dugout. Of course, the dugout's going crazy. And he passes Dave Van Horn, and Dave, like, doesn't even react. I guess that's just being Mr. Cool as a cucumber or whatever. And I thought that was funny. But, yeah, Peyton Holt has brought lots of energy, lots of offense, defense. just everything. He's been a super duper catalyst for these guys.
Bob, we'll leave it there. Thanks for your time. We'll be reading you in the Democrat Gazette.
Okay, you guys take care.
Thank you. Thanks, Bob.
Bob Holt with the Democrat Gazette with us each Thursday here on Halftime.
Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
All guests join Halftime on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Brett Dolan is there with us to talk some baseball, anything else we can dream up here. Brett, it's getting darker here in College Station by the minute. I don't know if we're playing today or not, but I'll be here until they tell me otherwise.
Well, I'd like to be there, and I may be there if you do play, but I'm just fearful this forecast is not going to be wrong, and leave it to the baseball gods to screw up, to me, what could be one of the more interesting storylines going in, maybe the best pitcher in college baseball against a team that might have the best all-around hitting. But and I hate doubleheaders. I know you're used to them, but I'd prefer they find a way to play or maybe push this series back, but I just don't know.
Yeah, your guess will be as good as mine. I think it'll depend on how long they're willing to wait because of rain and because of lightning, but we'll see. But you're right, too. I mean, this is a really difficult A&M lineup to maneuver through. And for one thing, like they're not just good, they're veterans. You know, guys that have been around college baseball for a long time but also have tried to – you know, transferred up to see what they could do at this level, like a Jackson Appel who was at Penn previously, or an Ali Camarillo who was at Northridge before, Ted Burton who was at Michigan. I mean, these guys were, or Braden Montgomery at Stanford. Like, he could have stayed there, but you test yourself in the SEC, and each one of these guys, I mean, they've transferred in and they've succeeded here.
Oh, it's a good point. It reminds me a little bit of LSU last year because we talked about Dylan Cruz and Tommy Tanks, and Cruz was going to be the number two overall pick, and Tommy White, one of the best RBI and home run hitters in his college career during these 3 years, but there were Dugas. You know, you go down the list, there were a handful of other really good college hitters and players, and Braden Montgomery is fantastic. Jace Lavallette is one of the best power hitters in the country, too. But there's nice components around him, whether it's a freshman at the top of the lineup or some of the transfers you mentioned. I mean, Jim Schlossnagel is no dummy when it comes to putting together a roster and going out and trying to bring some people into the SEC and into A&M. And that's why it hasn't taken long for them to be competitive. And this Western Division, to me, looks a little different because 2-3 years ago, of course, you know, it was LSU, Arkansas, and then you mix in Ole Miss and Mississippi State, and now you've seen A&M kind of creep up there with Arkansas, and then maybe Ole Miss and Mississippi State kind of taking a step backwards, and that's why I think this series is intriguing. And if you're a fan, you love it that it comes late in the year. If you're a fan of the two teams, maybe you wish it didn't, because a lot of hard work might be tilted in one direction or another when it comes to winning this division or winning the SEC. But, no, I'm with you. I think this lineup that A&M poses is really tough, and that's why I'd love to see Arkansas's pitching, Phil, kind of clicking on all cylinders, because it's been Arkansas kind of pitching in defense and A&M offense, but A&M's pitching might be a little better than Arkansas's offense as a whole this year, so it makes it a little more, I think, interesting if all three of these games get played on time.
Hey, Brett, Arkansas, number three team in the country, and they're making a pitching change. Hey, what are your thoughts on that? Some would say, you know, let them fight through it. You are the number. It's not like all of a sudden we're outside of the top 10 now. They're still competitive, still have a chance to win it. But Gage Wood going to get his first SEC start coming up either, I guess, what, today or tomorrow? I mean, would it be tomorrow, Phil?
It would be, yeah.
You know, Matt, I'm excited for it, and I think as you posed that question, it made me think, because this has been a team of the top five all year, really in the top three, and, you know, and I've heard Phil say it before, and I agree with him 100%. For this team to really go to Omaha and get deep, they're going to need Brady Tigert and Molina to be successful. Now, it hasn't happened the last couple of weeks, and DVH is the ultimate, and I don't want to use the word tinker. I just think he just has a way of kind of picking the right days to put certain guys in the lineup or maybe pull somebody back. And I support it. I just think these deficits that the team has had to endure on these Saturday and Sunday games, or games two and three of the series, has not been good. And I would not have bet on them coming back last Sunday. It just didn't look like it was going to happen. To their credit, they found it. But, I mean, I'm all for throwing Gage Wood or even Ben Bybee out there this weekend, and I know the tournament's coming up soon in Hoover, but I feel like if these guys give you a chance, Gage in particular, and he throws four innings, then maybe you bring in a Mason Molina or maybe Tigard if he isn't skipped this weekend, and let those guys go. And if they're able to go four innings again, it shortens the game. Now, if they're going to struggle and it's the fifth inning or sixth inning when they come on, you no longer have to walk that tightrope and say, I have to stick with my starter. I can't take my starter out after 20 pitches. You can if a relief pitcher is not successful. I mean, you have that leeway. And maybe Gage can give them a better chance to compete in games two and three. I fear there's going to be a day somewhere where Arkansas is actually going to lose a Hagen start. And if that's the case, you really need games two and games three
bite your tongue
to go well.
Mm-hmm. Bite your tongue.
I mean,
that doesn't happen.
I'm with you. No. You hope, you know, came close in Florida, and then you were a little bit concerned last weekend. And, you know, the guy's really good, but it doesn't mean he's perfect, or it doesn't mean Arkansas is going to score some runs. But I just feel like they've got to figure this out a little bit better on Saturdays and Sundays or games two and three of the series. And this is really the last regular season weekend to tinker before you head to Hoover, which is kind of a shell game in and of itself.
How dare you suggest that they could lose a game started by Hagen Smith? Have you not been watching? Come on, Brett. You're going to throw that out there? No, but it's true, though, and you want to at least – and that's one of the things we've wondered throughout the year. It's like, well, at some point they lose a game that Hagen pitches, so you need somebody in the back two games. Still hasn't happened yet. But look, A&M's already made a change. Potentially, they changed – I mean, they made a change last week. They threw a lefty in Shane Sadao instead of the guy that had been making their Sunday starts. The other guy other lefty, Justin Lampkin, he might not throw tomorrow. They went with a TBA tomorrow because he's been really bad. Part of this also, too, so there's a couple extra things here, Brett. Just because Molina isn't listed as the starting pitcher for Saturday doesn't mean he's not going to pitch on Saturday. He still could. I think depending on what happens in the first two games, he could still get a start on Saturday. And that could be a really good thing for him to show that, you know, he's able to take a step past that. So,
no,
the other
end, I think if
Go ahead.
You know, if Gage Wood again throws four or five innings and you bring Mason on, he's successful, maybe he finishes that game, especially if you have to empty the tank on a Friday and throw out a Fouch or McIntyre, whatever the case may be. It gives you that opportunity. I think the one wild card, though, Phil, that kind of gave me pause, and I think it didn't surprise us, but you still hated to hear Dave say it this week, is that maybe they'll just skip Brady altogether. I mean, his velocity was a little bit down, and he was posed a direct question, was DVH, and he said, oh, maybe we'll just rest him this weekend, because he was in that 90-91 rather than 93-ish, 94 range, and that meant that he leaned on that curveball a lot. And that curveball, sometimes it has great spin, but it hits guys. You can see it. You lay off it if it's not in the zone or they aren't chasing it. It's high pitch counts and whatnot, so that, to me, is the biggest concern. I mean, skipping Brady this weekend's not the biggest deal, but does that mean he's going to be fresh and ready to go in a week or so, or is this an issue that's coming at the worst possible time?
Well, and also, who takes the role that Gage Wood had? Because he, I mean, look at what he did last week. I mean, he was the guy.
Molina. I think he could do that. Fit in, trying to come in and get six outs, five outs. Do you like that, Phil? You don't.
Brett, what do you think? I mean, because he's pitched in relief as a freshman. Pitching is pitching. Just because you haven't done it since you were a freshman doesn't mean you can't do it now. It's just a different role. Do you think he could fill in maybe that same role that Wood had filled in if things are right?
Well, I think there's a couple of thoughts to that. Bringing somebody into a bases loaded, nobody out situation might not be Mason, maybe a little more pitch to contact or whatever. I mean, Gage Wood felt like he was meant for that situation if anybody was going to get out of that the other day. By getting three outs and not allowing to run to score. If I wanted somebody to come on and maybe get some quick outs and be effective and hope that Mason was throwing strikes, I wouldn't mind running him out there for a longer period of time. I think he wants to be in that rotation, but the best way maybe for him to get back is to pitch well in whatever role he's called upon. If that's kind of a long relief, and to me a long relief can also, you know, finish a game. I think McIntyre earlier in the year was that guy that would come on and maybe come on in the sixth inning or whatever, and if he was effective, he just kept rolling, and there was no need to get Fouch up or get Gackle up. And that's, you know, I'd still be – Arkansas did a great job using those guys, Fouch and Gackle. You hate to lean on them too much in these last couple of weeks before you're really going to need to do that maybe in the postseason for the regionals or supers.
Brett, what team – look at the last, I guess we'd say two national championships, because Mississippi State had they played at home to get there. And you know, we were kind of looking at them like, yeah, that's a team that could make a run. Ole Miss got in as the last team in 2 years ago. They win the Natty. Last year, you know, LSU didn't really have the kind of regular season that I think we expected. Then they go ahead and have the kind of postseason that we did expect. Is there a team outside of the top four right now in the SEC that you think could make a run that people aren't paying attention to?
That's a good question. When you started to pose that question, I thought in general, you know, Wake Forest was a team that we thought was going to be really good, that all of a sudden wasn't playing very good baseball, that seems to have really kind of locked in as of late. We don't get to see them, of course, because we're so focused on the SEC. I don't know. I mean, it does feel like it's possible, though, right? I mean, just because we might not throw a team out there immediately, just what you went through with Ole Miss a couple of years ago, barely getting in and then kind of finding some magic, I think is just a storyline that it shows it's possible. I think that, you know, you need the right draw. You need a little bit of luck. You need to be playing right or well at the right time of the year. And there's a lot of components to that. And sometimes we feel like we have a pretty good read on it going into the regionals, and then you're two games into the regional, and they're like, oh, my goodness, you know, TCU is better than I thought. This team's not playing well. And it shows you what a crapshoot it is. I'd have a hard time throwing one out there right now outside of the top four, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if somebody found a way to get to Omaha, kind of like Auburn even did a few years ago when you didn't think they were maybe a College World Series type team.
Brett, we'll leave it there. Appreciate you hopping on, man. Thank you. And, hey, what day are you looking at maybe coming to College Station? Was it today? Weather
it
permitted?
It was today. Yeah, I've got high school graduation this week in Houston, so I'd like to see Hagen pitch today and get out there. But, I mean, it just keeps getting darker and darker in the part of Texas I'm at right now. So I hope that's not the case for you.
Well, they just covered the field, so it tells you what they think's about to happen here. That's for sure. Brett, appreciate you, man. Maybe we'll see you. Maybe we won't.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Brett.
Brett Dolan with us each Thursday here on Halftime. Matt Jones, have a great rest of your night. C-Unit, appreciate you. Make sure you stay tuned for Ruskin and Zach coming up very soon. And the Eastside Liquor Halftime podcast is also downloadable shortly. It's a good thing I remember to put this window closed, because otherwise all this very expensive electrical equipment could get destroyed. For Matt, for the C-Unit, I'm Phil. Thanks for listening to Halftime today. Get up, get out, and get better.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com. This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my
Glad stretch. Feeling pine so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.